Congratulations, folks. You've made it to the end of another work week. It's Freaky Friday on the Podcast Daily. That's Bill Landis. I am Austin Ward, and there is nothing, and I mean nothing, that can get you ready for the Cinco de Mayo weekend quite like a breakdown of the spring camp that the tight ends had.
When I think Fiesta, I think Ohio State tight ends.
I mean, I can't be the only one that cares about what's going on at tight end for Ohio State, right?
No, I think a lot of people care about what's going on at the tight end position at Ohio State. I just don't feel like I have a great handle on it. Like I'm, and you pay probably closer attention to it than I do, because I'm just so hyper fixated on the offensive line all the time. I'm curious how you like. Do you feel you have a good handle on what's happening with this position group coming out of spring?
Not as much as I would like, to be honest. I think it's a weird position for me to be fixated on, right? Like, Ohio State could probably run any version of an offense that Chip Kelly and Ryan Day dreamed up and not have to play two tight ends or throw to the tight end, which it doesn't seem like the usage of the tight end is going to be different this year than it was from the previous couple years. There's not a Jeremy Ruckert, and there's not a Kate Stover on this team. I think you have to start from that foundational point. Does that mean that the unit can't be really productive based on what Keenan Bailey has and the way that this spring went? No, and I just think that the thing that made it difficult to evaluate was a course correction, adjusting in your mind what these tight ends are going to be asked to do, which is a lot more blocking than the last couple of years, but back to a level that I think was more comfortable for thinking about the way Jeff Heuermann and Nick Vinette and guys like that were being used a decade ago. And can they do that? I think so. It's a little bit of a mix and match, and you've talked about this, Bill, a number of times, where it's like it feels like the amount of playable depth is there at tight end for Ohio State. Is there a super high end, no doubt NFL player leading that group? Probably not currently. Will Kaczmarek is the person I think that has the best chance of getting there, at least in the next year or two. Jelani Thurman has that skill set. We can get into all those guys as we go, but like, I still think there is a chance by August that Will Kaczmarek gives Ohio State what it wants from the tight end number one and can take the Cade Stover role, but that he won't be playing it the same way that Cade Stover did. I'm starting to think that the 21-ish catches that he had, that Will Kaczmarek had at Ohio, is probably, if Ohio State gets that, they would be fine. They're not looking for 40 to 50 targets in the Cade Stover range. And then from there, that's a different conversation. So to me, when I say that I may have a better handle on it now than I did a month ago or 2 months ago, it's because I've adjusted what I'm expecting from the tight ends.
Yeah, so am I. I think that's right. And the thing about, and I'm not saying this to take away anything from Cade Stover, but he also existed in an offense where they were looking for some guys over the middle of the field too, because like Emeka Ibuka was banged up for much of last year, right? So like the ball, I think, kind of naturally found Cade in a way where, if everything goes according to plan this year, that probably won't be the case for the Ohio State tight ends. Emeka Ibuka is back, will play a lot in the slot. Brandon Ennis is going to, I think, emerge as an option in the slot. Maybe they throw the ball to the running backs a little bit more than they have the past couple of years. So like those targets just are going to be diverted away from the tight end position, which I think is totally fine. But as you mentioned, like then that changes the job description a little bit. Like these guys are going to need to function more as, like Kevin Wilson always said, like you're a left tackle and you're a receiver, right? This will lean more toward the left tackle existence, I think, for Ohio State's tight ends. And I actually do think they are situated okay to handle that job description, right? Like I like Will Kaczmarek. Like I if people were maybe expecting that to pop a little earlier than it has, like I think I get that, but it also makes sense to me that there is some kind of transition period that has to happen for a guy who's moving up from the MAC. And honestly, like maybe it doesn't hit, right? And that would be a worst case scenario for Ohio State. But I don't think we're nearly at the point where like you're writing it off, right? I think there's reason to be still optimistic about where that's headed. And I thought Will had a decent spring. It seems like G. Scott had a really good spring. Like Ryan Day kept praising him at every opportunity he got. So like I've I've been in the camp of like, I still don't know whether he could be a tight end one or like a consistent inline tight end. He still feels more like a move tight end to me, more of a receiver still than a blocking guy. But I'll be happy to be wrong about that if G has made strides. And then like, I still like Bennett Christian, like Jelani Thurman's a big body that you can hopefully throw into the mix to block. So I think the skill set for like what the offense needs is there, but it's also like it's a quality that I think is a little hard to discern during spring ball when one, we didn't see a whole lot of practice. Two, like we're not watching it from the best vantage point when we are in there. So like all you really have to go off of is the spring game. And even that, I don't think is a great sample size. So it's still like very much wait and see for me, but I do feel like I see a group that can accomplish what Ohio State needs them to accomplish.
I think this was really driven home to me around the Student Appreciation Day scrimmage in the tight ends. From my vantage point, amateur observer, I didn't think they had a good day. And my opinion on that was largely based on they had a handful of drops, team periods, 7-on-7s. Throughout practice, they had issues as targets in the passing game. And I talked to people about that. And I said, because I'm like, hey, I talk about the tight ends a lot, probably too much. Like, should I be concerned about this as we evaluate where this group is in spring? I talked to multiple people about that. And they're like, well, if your expectation is only that they're going to go out and catch 40 to 50 passes, then yeah, you can be concerned about that. But maybe pay attention to some of the other things that they're doing really well, which is like powerful run blocking and physical development and cohesion and different things that Ohio State's trying to do on the offensive side, where even at that point, I think you could have asked Keenan Bailey or Ryan Day and Chip Kelly and given them truth serum and say, oh, this tight end group is not where we want it to be, need it to be at this moment. And I think 2 weeks later, they would say, we're starting to see some things, particularly as blockers, that makes them feel that they can still function as the offense that they want to be. And you bring up the spring that G. Scott had. I don't know if I had, it's just the length of time that he's been here, not considered him as like, I don't know, can he be the tight end one because of the blocking part? I'm more open to a world where he plays the Jeremy Ruckert role and Will Kaczmarek is Luke Farrell. And like you have that version of the offense that it still doesn't throw it a ton to the tight end. In this case, probably not to Will Kaczmarek much, if at all, but G. Scott can be a 15 to 20 catch person and a red zone threat, and they can work in tandem. I think that's an outcome that wouldn't surprise me that much. Now that opens up another question of what does that mean for Jelani Thurman? Is Bennett Christian, you know, purely playing that, you know, extra bonus blocker, Jake Hausman type role? That can work. We've seen that work for Ohio State. And I think if you get to that point and that becomes the bar for success, I don't think it's out of the question at all that Ohio State will get to that point.
No, I think that would probably be my preferred usage of like what they have, right? And then I actually think too, if you do it that way with using the shorthand of Farrell and Ruckert, where Kaczmarek is the Farrell and G is the Ruckert, like I actually think Bennett Christian and Jelani Thurman, like as your next two guys, work quite well together as natural number twos, with Bennett Christian being the number two Luke Farrell and Jelani Thurman kind of being the number two Jeremy Ruckert. And if you are entertaining that idea, then I think that actually opens up maybe perhaps more opportunities for Jelani to play. Like if they still feel like he's figuring out everything that is involved with the position, like is still evolving as a blocker, as a guy who like wasn't asked to do much of that in high school and has only been on campus for a year still. Then you can still throw the ball his way, right? You can still utilize what he does best at the moment, which is like be a big body in the red zone, give Will Howard, whoever is the quarterback, like a big old target to throw the ball to. Like, then I don't think you're asking Jelani to do too much, and perhaps he's not quite ready for it. And you're leaning into the strengths, I think, of everyone in the room. It's just going to have to be like, I think there were times, and maybe this is a product of just how the room was and not necessarily a reflection of like Cade Stover's totality of skill set, but like it felt like Cade kind of had to do everything, and like at times you could rely on like the one guy to just basically like do everything you need him to do. I don't know if they have like the one guy who can kind of do everything in this room, at least not yet. Maybe they will by the time the season rolls around, or like by mid season, somebody really hits his stride. But it does it does feel like you're going to have to like pick and choose the skill sets of certain guys depending on the situation of what you're trying to do, and like that will determine who is in the game. But I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing if you end up playing three or four tight ends the number of snaps you were giving Cade Stover. I actually think that can maybe work out to everyone's benefit in a world where they're trying to keep guys fresher for the long haul of the season.
Yeah, I think that goes to your point, Bill. It's like, if we're talking about playable depth, like there was a wide disparity for really the last 2 years between Cade Stover and anybody else in terms of upside potential, all around tight end ability, NFL draft ability. And that wound up leading to way too much of a workload on Cade Stover. And if you want to think of one reason why he may have slid in the NFL draft, I think probably his physicals and x-rays and medical evaluations weren't great because he had injuries on every part of his body in the last 2 years. Now, that could be bad luck, but for someone with Cade Stover's toughness and willingness to take every one of those reps, I think he was probably being put in a position that wound up being unfair. And a year ago when he came back, Keenan Bailey talked about that and said, we can't ask Cade Stover to play 70 snaps. He will say yes, and that's not good for the program as a whole. So I think that's sort of what you're talking about. It is the ideal outcome is that you absolutely have a Brock Bowers first-round draft pick, a Cade Stover NFL draft pick. Like, you want one of those guys leading your room, and that makes you a much more dangerous offense. But there aren't a ton of them. And that doesn't mean that you have to abandon the tight end position as a whole just because you may not have one no doubt about it talent. I think there's a world where the ceiling has dropped individually and the floor has been raised collectively.
I think I would agree with that assessment. Yeah. And that can be good enough. Like, I think that's, it's not like, it's not the most exciting way to describe a position group, I suppose, but I think it can be good enough for what Ohio State needs. And they never really got to the place last year. I thought like, it's like clearly in last spring, they were like very intent on finding a way to like not put so much on Cade Stover. And he played 700 snaps in 2022, and he still played over 600 last year. Right? He still had double the amount of snaps that G. Scott played as a number two tight end last year. So like, I clearly never got to the place.
And he probably would have, and sorry to interject, but he would have had 700 if he didn't get hurt in November.
Yeah, right. So like that, the dynamic really didn't change. I think they played probably fewer snaps on average in games because of like clock rules and stuff like that. But in terms of like percentage of snaps, Cade Stover was used just as much as he was the year prior when they like had hoped to not have to do that. So they'll be able to avoid that this year, I think, just because like, there's not going to be anyone there like commanding 600 snaps of tight end play. I don't think, unless again, someone like really has an awesome summer and gets to that point, but I'm not on alert for that. So I think you're going to see like, maybe G. Scott plays like 500 snaps, maybe like 400, and Will Kaczmarek plays like 500 snaps. And Jelani Thurman maybe plays, you know, 200 to 300 snaps. And I think that is like, I don't know, that seems like a decent usage for me. I know there are probably a lot of people who maybe are listening to this and just want to hear like Jelani is going to play all the tight end snaps. And like, I get that because like I find myself wanting that sometimes too when I see him catch a slant in practice and run down the middle of the field like a freight train. Like, oh, that looks fun. Let's do that all the time. But I also like I want to be respectful of what it takes to play this position at a high level too. And he is still a young player who's not really, again, played tight end all that much. He was more like a big receiver. So there's still some development there that has to happen. But I either way, I think he has a much larger role this year, and the tight end room in general is like a more balanced operation than it has been the last few years.
I wonder, and I don't know the answer to this, what if Ryan Day and Chip Kelly and Keenan Bailey would look at, we talk about this a lot. Like, if somebody does something well, why don't you just go let him do it? Jaden Ballard can run a fly route. Like, why don't you just let him do that? Jelani Thurman may not be the most polished blocker yet. Let him run a slant and run like a freight train down the middle of the field. Like, I don't know where Chip Kelly is on that scale of being open to doing things like that, tailoring roles, But for this specific position, and we talk about it all the time, that development, you have to be able to block a defensive end on one snap, and then you have to beat a safety and on a route in the next rep. Like, we know, we've heard that a million times. Like, can you cut that in half? If you're thinking about a room that needs to concoct a game plan to take advantage of the strengths of those four players and put them in different situations. Maybe they can do that more with Jelani Thurman than they would have a year ago. Maybe that's the best use of G. Scott to get and tap into the Ruckert Farrell tandem that from a couple of years ago. Like, we haven't spent enough time around Chip Kelly for me to know if he's like more open to that idea than Ohio State's coaching staff has been for the last several years.
Yeah, it's a good question. I don't really have a feel for that answer either. I guess I would choose to be optimistic, I guess, that he maybe will see it that way. And that's like the benefit of having some fresh eyes coming in. It was the one thing that I was like pretty excited about with the potential of Bill O'Brien, because Bill O'Brien comes from that Patriots background where they utilized the tight end pretty heavily when he was there. And I remember when Bill O'Brien went to Penn State, it's like all anyone talked about was Bill O'Brien uses two tight ends, and like one of them's called the F. Isn't that cool? And they're going to like move him around and throw him the ball a lot. And it was like, who's going to be the Gronk and who's going to be the, apologies for the comparison, Aaron Hernandez type, right? So like that obviously isn't happening here now because Bill O'Brien left, but like Chip Kelly utilizes the tight end position for sure. And he might look at a guy like Jelani and think to himself like, yeah, I can use that guy. Maybe I can't use him in all the ways you would hope to be able to use a tight end, but there are definitely ways you can use that skill set. So I hope that it opens up more doors. It's a thing that I think has been a somewhat fair criticism of this coaching staff is like we understand that, you know, you're trying to develop, you know, holistic football players here, but in the meantime, can you go let that guy do the thing he does really well already? So we'll see. I'm eternally hopeful for that and usually left disappointed, but maybe this year will be different.
I would be remiss, and we're not going to make the same mistake. We did not talk about Patrick Gerd in the spring tight end position preview, and he started in the spring game.
Yeah, he'll play. He's the Mitch Rossi type, I think. Right? Like, we'll see how creative Chip wants to.
You got to earn that title, Bill. We don't. Yeah. We just don't hand that out willy nilly around here.
That is a fair point. I feel like Mitch has to like come back and bestow that upon somebody. It's not on us to do it. But we saw him get into T formation and Pat Gerd was there like as the blocking back, and they'll use that formation. Like I truly believe they'll do some of that stuff, especially in the red zone. So Pat will have a role in that way. And he's another guy you can like kind of move around the backfield and use the way they use Mitch. I think the way they tried to use Chip Trainum at times last year, but it probably even comes more naturally to a guy like Pat Gerd. So he'll be a part of the offense for sure. Like when I wrote a depth chart projection at Rivals this week, and like I didn't list Pat Gerd as a starter, but like I typically don't list walk-ons at all, but I made sure to list him because I do truly believe he will have a role in this position group.
You had TC Caffey on there as well, so you had two walk-ons.
I did. Yeah. Same deal. I also was like trying to get ahead of maybe if Ohio State's looking to put some walk-ons on scholarship, I think those are two guys near the top of the list. So, wanted to be able to look back and be like, I knew it was happening. I'm not behind.
Of course you did. Yeah. Are there going to be any title changes on Saturday at Backlash?
Oh, no, I don't know. I kind of think not. Okay. I feel like it'd be too soon for a lot of people, right?
I think Jade Cargill and Bianca Belair are leaving with the tag straps.
Oh yeah, I could see that. Are they? Is there a men's tag team match?
Yes.
I can't remember.
Not
like obviously, like Cody Rhodes is not going to lose, and I don't think Damian Priest is going to lose after they made him hold the Money in the Bank briefcase for as long as he did. So
I think it'd be pretty funny if he did, but anyway,
would be funny. Yeah.
That's 1 minute to get ready for your weekend. Berm was trying to get us to do a full PLE preview. I don't think anybody is ready for that on this channel. But maybe we'll check back later on Friday night and have some drinks and open some cards. And we'll just decide to go live and talk about wrestling. I don't know. Maybe not. You let us know. Hit us up on subtext, and if there's demand for it, we're pretty easily coerced into doing things like that. But otherwise, we hope you enjoyed a Freaky Friday breakdown of the Ohio State tight ends after spring camp. Thanks for joining us. Hope you have a great weekend. Cinco de Mayo. You've got PLEs for WWE and trade night on Saturday night in Grove City at Card Collector 2. Bill and I will be there as well if you want to come hang out and talk some cards and some Buckeyes with us there. So thanks again for joining us all week long on the Podcast Daily. He's Bill. I'm Austin. We'll see you later.